May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, George and Jane are on their very first date. As they're walking to the cinema, Jane says, "If you give me a kiss, George, I promise faithfully that I'll be yours forever and a day." And George replies, "Thanks for the early warning, Jane." So as always, at every moment of our lives, there's much for which we can give thanks to God. And in particular, this Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday, we pause to reflect on God's bountiful goodness. We decorate the church out of the abundance of our gardens and farm produce, and the beauty of autumn outside helps us to recognize God in nature. And inside our churches, every time we gather for worship, we're thanking and praising God for all his blessings, including today's most special blessing of the relationship between Kathy and John. Each year, the Israelites would give thanks to God and acknowledge God through their ritual and worship. We see in the passage from the book of Deuteronomy how Moses recognized the importance of thanking God. He taught the Israelites to bring to God the best, choicest first fruits of their harvest, present it to the priests in the temple as an offering of thanksgiving. They were now settled into the promised land, and they were to remember and thank God who gave it to them. Today's psalm calls us to praise and worship God and to give thanks simply because he is God and because God is good. Our God is the true God. He created us and he has remained steadfast in his love. To be steadfast means to be loyal and faithful. Even when throughout the centuries we have been unfaithful to God, nevertheless, God has never wavered in his love for us. In the letter to the Philippians, Paul calls us to rejoice always, for the Lord is near. To say that the Lord is near was understood to mean that Jesus was to return in the second coming at any moment. He is near. But in thinking about that, to say that the Lord is near is also to reveal a deep truth that indeed Christ is always near to us. He is in every faithful heart. Jesus is everywhere that there is love and truth and kindness and compassion and hope and forgiveness. Jesus is indeed always near, so rejoice always. And we acknowledge his nearness to us in a special way this morning as we gather to celebrate the love and relationship between Kathy and John. Undoubtedly, God's Spirit has led these two into a committed, loving relationship where they recognize their desire to receive God's blessing and to make a lifelong covenant, which in its basic definition means agreement. They acknowledge that the love they share is a holy love, enriched by God. And so how appropriate that we should be celebrating on this Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday as they reap the harvest of God's love and commit themselves to one another and to God as we overflow with thanksgiving that God has brought these two together. And how appropriate to have today's gospel reading, which reminds us how God satisfies both our physical and spiritual hunger. It is Jesus who feeds us, both physically and spiritually. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And through Christ, God literally feeds our bodies and souls. Through the Eucharist that we celebrate each Sunday, which, by the way, means Thanksgiving, God literally feeds us as we receive his blessed presence in his body and blood. It's good to pause and wonder on this Thanksgiving Sunday of all the fruits of God's goodness, especially of his greatest gift to us, and that is Jesus Christ. For Jesus was born and died for us so that we might have the gift of eternal life, the abundant gift of God's love, and live lives free from the darkness of sin and despair. What a gift. With Christ in our lives, we need not fear anything. And Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. It's all the more significant coming from a man who has been through life-threatening beatings and stonings and drownings, and yet he can still say, don't worry about anything. So that's good advice for you, Kathy and John. Whatever life may throw at you two, together with God, you shall overcome any adversity. And I don't mean to worry you, John, but a word of advice. If you haven't already learned this, you need to know that a woman always has the last word in any argument. And anything a man says after that is the beginning of a new argument. And there's some conventional wisdom on the subject of happiness. Apparently, to be happy with a man, Kathy, you must understand him a lot and love him a little. But to be happy with a woman, John, you must love her a lot and not try to understand her at all. I'm just giving you a heads up to help you out, and I don't mean to cause you any worry. Paul gives us some further advice on worrying. Instead of worrying, we are to pray in two ways. We are to pray with petitions, being bold and asking God for things. After all, we are talking about a God who loves us. And we are to pray with thanksgiving. So there's that word again. And why do we do this? Because as Paul says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And when we do what Christ teaches, our God of peace will be with us. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We give thanks because God is eternally compassionate and faithful to those who keep his law and follow his ways. We have so much for which to be thankful. And so how are we to respond? By coming before God with thanksgiving in our hearts, by nurturing our faith in Jesus, through regularly celebrating our Eucharistic Thanksgiving feast. We feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving, not only today in this service, but every day through our prayer and commitment to Christ and to one another. And so we rejoice and give thanks for Jesus, for the blessing of his love, the greatest gift we will ever receive. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.